This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show. Good evening.
Good evening.
And welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Tonight, we're going to be talking about keeping your firearm safe. But before we go through that, I want to introduce our co-host, Mr. Coleman. How you doing?
Jenny White, how are you this evening?
I'm fine, thank you. And
great,
now
great.
Gonna ask our guest, Officer Reggie, is here with us this evening.
Good
Officer
evening,
Reggie,
Ms. Jenny.
How you doing?
Fine, and Brother Coleman, how are you, sir?
Wonderful, Officer Barnes. How you doing today?
I'm up and surviving.
All right, that's half the battle.
Okay, we're gonna talk about these firearms that are having a real hard time with legislation because they the Democrats want something and the Republicans don't want anything. So everybody thinks we're trying to take their firearms away from them, and that's not it. But every time you turn around, somebody is dying, and most of the time it's a child. With all the school killings, it's horrible. But tonight we're going to talk about how to keep the ones that you have safe, and there are special ways to keep your weapons safe from others, especially from young children. I can't understand why people have loaded weapons in their homes with young people. And you find a lot of people nowadays, the children are shooting each other. You know, their cousins, their brothers and their sisters. I mean, come on now, parents. What's going on with that? So I wish someone could kind of help these children and keep those guns away so they can't find them. The first thing you can do is when you have it and you're, you know, if you're not using it, keep your muzzle, is that pointed in a safe direction. So I'm assuming that's down. Never point your gun at anything you don't intend to shoot. So that's a good thing to do. And another thing is your firearm should be unloaded when not actually in use. Now, I know that's going to be a lot of, what shall I say?
Controversy.
A lot of, okay, yeah, because are you going to keep it loaded just in case you need it? And I know a lot of people will say, well, I got to get up and find my bullets, and then I got to put them on. By that time, I'm dead. So I don't know how you're going to do that.
Well, there's a solution to that.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
But there's a lot of people don't understand that, first of all, we need to have gun education. If you're going to own a gun, you need to know the ways to be effective. You need to know the ways of being safe, and you need to understand the ramifications when a gun is used and not used in the effort that it was designed for. A lot of people fail to realize that I think what happens in our community, especially community of color, I think so many people are paranoid now because example of my neighborhood, it's like gunshots are a soundscape in my area. It's not a night that goes by that we don't hear gunshots, or we read or see on the news later that somebody has been killed by a gun. A lot of people fail to realize that there were more guns purchased last year than the last two decades. My understanding is it was almost over 23 million guns that were sold during the pandemic and during the Black Lives protest. People panicked and bought so many guns, it was unbelievable. And that's the reason why ammunition is not available.
Why do you think they did that?
Because, first of all, I think the uprising of blacks that are now sounding off on the racial disparity against each the blacks, the white people are getting paranoid more so now because we're not back in slavery day where the master owned the guns. Now, if you want to reverse it, the psychology is now the blacks own guns and not afraid to use them.
Okay,
so
but
that makes them very nervous.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, a lot of the people that have purchased guns already had them. I was listening to one show store owner, and he said he had people waiting in line for 4 hours, but he said he would not sell any bullets unless they purchased the gun.
Right.
So, I mean, why you got to have all these guns?
Well, I can't answer that question as far as...
Well, can you answer this question, Officer Reggie? How many firearms do you have?
Well, I'm not going to reveal that information.
So that tells me that you have more than one.
Well, you got to remember, too, the occupation that I was in.
That's true.
A lot of people fail to realize that that's a tool of my trade. And so we have different assignments that require different weapons, of course. So you would have, a different type of weapon for a different type of job. This is like a carpenter with a tool. He uses a tool for each job that's different than the other job. But you also remember, too, that I'll give you an example for me. I belong to a sniper team. I belong to a pistol combat team. I also work different assignments, which required you to carry different type of weapons depending on the type of uniform that you were in. So the department didn't supply you with the weapons that you needed other than the standard issue weapon. So therefore you had to purchase your own weapon in those other events.
So what you're saying is that you could not use one firearm for different situations.
No, you had a combination of firearms. And you also got to remember, too, that a police officer is in a situation where that when he's working the street, if he gets attacked and they take one weapon, what does he have to back himself up with if he doesn't have another weapon to protect himself with?
Okay.
So you got to remember, if you're out there by yourself, it's like a person when we're talking about having a firearm loaded in their home, when an individual or somebody or a group of individuals break into your house, how much time do you have to go find your weapon and then find the bullets, then load the weapon and prepare for battle when they're already coming in with their weapons already drawn?
Oh, don't forget, take the gun lock off of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely the gun lock.
Right, got to find
the key.
So
by that time, you figure the incident is over with as far as you becoming the victim. Because you don't have time to dial 911, and heaven forbid that you do dial 911, they don't put you on hold. All lines of business.
Yeah.
Wow. That's happened to me personally when I needed the police in a gun battle that I had. They actually put me on hold.
You know who else
wow.
does that too? The suicide line. Call it. They'll put you on hold too.
They want to give you time to think about it.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, you know, to answer your question earlier about what do you do as far as the safety of a firearm, I have a couple of suggestions that I do for myself. They have these safety gun boxes that actually have combinations. They have push-button electronic devices on it. They even have an RFID card where you can just rub the card over the box and the box will unlock it. You have wall safes that you can put your guns in, which I suggest for anybody in a home. That's also protection from thieves, as well as it's a hidden object where your children can't find. They won't have the combination unless you give it to them, which I don't think you should. But you can keep your firearm in that box loaded if you choose to desire to do that, opposed to unloading it, then having to load it when you need it, because it's already secured and ready for you to use in the moments that you need it. So we start thinking about safety and protection from harm of anybody other than the user of that weapon. That's a way to store it. And I'm not talking about in a drawer next to your nightstand unless you have a gun box nightstand or a gun box within the nightstand that's secure. So we have to think about securing opposed to unloading. But if you don't want to do it that way, then you have to unload it to be secure. And as Brother Coleman said, put the gun lock on. But remember this, too. Most gun locks are in combination. They're keys. Now you got to find the key to unlock the gun. So you might as well just throw it at them at that point.
Right.
Because, you know, how many people lose their keys to their car? Don't even know where that's at for the moment. So you're trying
to
find a key that you're protecting from somebody else unlocking the gun. Well, you got to remember where you put that key at.
Yeah, normally I keep the key in the lock. That way, you know, just keep the kids away from the key, you know. And so, you know, you go to the gun, just unlock it.
And that's why I suggest a safe.
All you have to do is
you have a minimum of a 4-pin combination. You hit that, you open the door, and you're ready to go. Because a lot of times, first of all, thieves hit you when you dead sleep or you're waking up from sleep. You know, unexpected. So you discombobulated in the first place, and you have to get your bearings. I know this person personally, but I remember reading an article where that this individual woke up and heard a noise downstairs and didn't realize after he got his gun that when he went downstairs, this person startled him. And he shot that person. That person happened to be his wife.
Oh, gosh.
So, see, there's another problem with understanding the again, ramifications, not understanding where everybody's at in your house. You never know, you know, you got to know your surroundings. You got to know your situation. And I think that's where paranoia comes into play, when we don't understand that a gun is a major responsibility. And I've been carrying a gun over 50 years. And thank God that the training that I've had, and I want you to understand something too. I constantly read and train and practice with the use of a gun. And a lot of people that have these different guns, you have to be familiar with the actions of that weapon, because every gun operates different. And if you don't know how to operate the gun that you plan on using, you can cause yourself more harm than good. Because some weapons have a safety on them, some weapons don't have a safety on them. So that could present you a problem when you think that this gun you picked up doesn't have a safety and you needed to use it and find out it won't work because you didn't turn the safety off but didn't know that because of the excitement that was generated through your adrenaline, because now you're trying to respond to an incident. That could become a problem for you too. Therefore, you could end up being the victim.
So don't you get instructions when you get the firearm?
Yes, but you got to remember too, that's not a one-time instruction. That's a practice instruction. That's something that you just don't take in like a learning process for one day. Every day you pick up that gun, it's a learning experience. You need to learn how to take it down to it depends on the type of weapon. Let me clarify that. If you have a wheel gun, which that means it has a cylinder, it doesn't come apart that much as a semi-automatic, that it breaks down to where you clean it. Cleaning is a very responsible part of owning a gun. I've known people to stick money in the barrel of a gun because they feel their spouse won't look down the barrel of a gun to see that money.
Wow.
And I've known people to shoot their money out of their gun when they went to practice because they forgot they stuck it in there.
Wow.
So we have to be careful about guns, period, because, you know, some people use them as a hiding point. But you brought up a good point earlier. What one of my golden rules about any gun is you treat all guns as if they were loaded. Never take it for granted. I mean, you know, you may think it's loaded or you may know it's loaded, but you always treat it as it's loaded. And second rule that I always have is never, ever point the muzzle at anything you are not willing to destroy. Let me repeat that again. Never let the muzzle of the gun be pointed in a direction that you're not willing to destroy.
I think
that was one of the rules that I had spoken about earlier. Keep
right.
it turned down, pointed in a safe direction.
And you always want to remember that rule, because it's like I compare pointing a gun at a person as if you were using a computer and wrote a nasty letter but actually didn't want to send it but pushed the send button.
Mm-hmm.
You can't retrieve that bullet, just like you can't retrieve that letter once you send it.
That's true.
Once the bullet has left the chamber, it's going towards the target that it was projected to.
But and that was
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say that was one of the things that I was going to say, because I had read that it said once the gun fires, you have given up all control over where the shot will go or what it will strike.
Absolutely. But there's more to that than just you pointing the muzzle in that direction. I've always, from my experience, and I have a little experience in guns, I never, ever put my finger in the trigger guard unless I'm ready to pull the trigger. In other words, my finger is on the outside of the trigger guard. The gun may be pointed in the direction I want to shoot when I'm trying to effect an arrest or, you know, plan on using as a defense for my defense. I always put my finger on the outside of the trigger. And the reason for that is to prevent from an accidental shooting, because it's very easy to pull the trigger through anxiety, through adrenaline, or actually when you are dealing with a violent person. Because if you have your gun in your hand and they attacked you, and your trigger finger is within the trigger guard, you can accidentally pull that trigger, not meaning to pull that trigger.
Or somebody startles you, you know, by surprise, catch you, you know, by surprise.
Oh, absolutely. You know. But not only that, a lot of people don't realize with a semi-automatic, you have a double action there. And once you pull the first action, the second action is easier.
Mm-hmm. Explain the double action for people that
don't understand. Yeah, because I don't understand that one.
Okay, on a semi-automatic, again, we talk about safeties. The first pull on a semi-automatic without a safety allows you to prepare to shoot before the second pulling of the gun, of the trigger guard. In other words, when I pull it the first time, I'm actually releasing a safety. The second pull is actually firing the gun. Do you understand what
and
I just said?
I'll give another example. Like the gun I have, the Springfield Armory, it has a double action where you just can't pull the trigger. The back of the when you grip the gun, the inside of your hand between your thumb and your trigger finger has to, you have to apply enough pressure so the back of the handle releases the trigger and therefore you can pull it.
Absolutely.
So if you're not holding the gun properly or tightly enough, you still can't discharge the gun. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I was explaining earlier about the design of weapons. Every weapon has its own characteristic, and you have to know how it operates in order to use it. And that's a fail-safe built into that gun for you not to shoot it without the proper holding, without you properly holding it to shoot it.
Well,
which I think is an excellent way of...
Design, yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of people that have guns they've never shot.
Oh, absolutely. They just bought it because it looked good.
Yeah, they got it, but, you know, and just like you said, you know, you need to know what that gun will do, because I've been at the range with one of my pistols, and it jammed,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so... I think it may have been the ammunition that I was using, but the gun jammed, you know, and if the gun jammed, you know, you're not shooting any more bullets. And if you're in the heat of the moment, that's not good. So,
well,
I mean,
there's a training process to show you how to clear the jam and continue on shooting. See, a lot of people aren't aware of that either. See, that's another practice mode that you need to practice into. You can release the magazine. You can eject the round from the chamber and drop in a new magazine. A lot of people that have semi-automatics are not aware of that sometimes you have to rotate the ammunition in that magazine because you put too much pressure on the spring. So
okay.
My suggestion is always don't fill the magazine up with to the capacity. You always want to leave one less in there, but you got to remember this. that one left in there is the round that's going to be chambered into your gun itself.
Okay. All right.
And then, therefore, you won't have that pressure on that spring. Because
okay.
a lot of people, as you well know, that if you don't use that your weapon every day or shoot it at least several times a week, that puts a lot of pressure on that spring. And then when you get ready to use it, that spring won't pop.
Mm.
And that's what gives you your jam a lot of times. Also, your risk action when you're shooting from the impact. See, depending on the type of round that you use, if you
okay.
use a higher capacity round, that'll make you your wrists flip up and down, and also that can make chambering the round also allow you to have a jam. But the secret to that is, again, whenever you use a semi-automatic, you always have more than one magazine with you.
Okay.
So, therefore, you know, if you do have a jam, you just drop that magazine, you exit that round in that chamber, and then you pop your new magazine in and you keep on going. And
okay.
You can buy, like, dummy rounds, and you can learn how to do that with the dummy rounds.
Now, what is a dummy round?
Dummy round is just a blank bullet that doesn't shoot. And it allows you to practice with it, because it doesn't have a firing pin in it.
Okay, I have
a primer. Excuse me, not a firing pin. It doesn't have a primer in it to where the firing pin can shoot it.
Okay,
I have a caller. Okay, caller, how you doing?
And how are you this evening, Jenny White, and our co-host, Mr. Coleman? And our wonderful
Hello.
Officer.
Hello, Ms. Lucy. How
like
are
to,
you?
Just fine. I would just like to ask you some questions. This question. For these cases that have come up where maybe a child has shot another child, do you know of any cases where who they would lay the blame on? And has anybody done any time for allowing something like that to happen?
Oh, yeah. See, first of all, the adult that is the owner of the weapon is going to be charged for neglect. And possibly the charge for the death of the child.
I was just wondering about that.
Oh yeah, no. You got to remember, the child didn't buy the gun. They found it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it's the adult.
Do anybody do time because of that? Did anybody do any time because of that? Do we have so many?
Oh
so
yeah.
Many?
Oh yeah.
But they are doing time for it.
Oh yeah, that's a criminal conviction. I mean, but the problem is if you have, there's a whole lot of documentation out there of those crimes that happen. I think the worst crime is when you're a parent and your child has, there was one recently
yeah.
where two young children, I think the ages were 3 and 5, and I'm still trying to figure that out, how a 3-year-old could pull the trigger and shot the 5-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, but how they found the gun, that was the other thing. There was a recent incident that happened last year where I can't be certain, but for some reason I believe they were in law enforcement or some type of military organization where they were required to have a gun, and
okay.
their gun was not in a secure location and was under the bed, and their child found that weapon and ended up shooting the other child, and they got charged for that.
I was just wondering about that, you know. It is
oh,
sad,
yeah.
so many children, are, you know, well,
we
got to
remember the problem with most of us that have weapons in the first place is because of the lack of response of help that you can get from the police departments. I think a lot of it has to do with location, demographics. We don't have the amount of patrol that we have. I'll give you a good example, and I'm not ashamed to say it, that we have more police downtown than we have in the neighborhood.
You just tuned in to to another episode of Let's Talk About It with Jenny White. Join Jenny.
Well, it sounds like we're
Friday
going to a commercial.
At 8 p.m. Eastern.
You know what? It startled me too.
It's having technical difficulties.
And you know what? Just because of that, let's go to a break.
We'll be back.
Okay.
Jenny White Show.
Can't hear anything. Jenny White,
for a
still
bit
there?
More real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction. Speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
Hi, friends. I'm Dr. Mike Spaulding, inviting you to listen to great Bible teaching on the Transforming Word radio show and podcast. All shows are available on iTunes and Stitcher. Search for the Transforming Word and subscribe for notification of new shows. You may also listen to every episode from my website, www.thetransformingword.com. In addition to the Transforming Word, I want to make you aware of my interview, news, and opinion show, Soaring Eagle Radio. If you're interested in engaging conversations related to a variety of topics not covered by typical news media, then check out Soaring Eagle Radio. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher, and you may listen to every episode on my website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. For more information on my ministries, please email me, Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Again, that's Pastor Mike at cclohio.com. Thank you for listening to these shows, and please leave me a note when you do. God bless you today.
Want to start a business or have tax issues? We know exactly how to handle your individual needs. We personalize each individual and give you the time required to focus on your needs. We audit you before the IRS does. The IRS is not on your side, but we are. We set up companies, do tax preparation, tax and retirement planning, bookkeeping, IRS audits, and reviews. Please call me, Deborah Mitchell, owner of Mitchell & Company, for a free consultation at 248-354-5122. And visit my website, MitchellTaxAccounting.com.
And we're back to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show.
Okay, we're back with the Jenny White Show. And we're talking about keeping your firearms safe. And we have our guest as Officer Barnes. He's telling us how we need to keep our firearms safe. So, Miss Lucy, were you still, did you have something else that you wanted to say?
I was interested in a case, Ms. Jenny Rice. I remember hearing a case where I guess they were looking for a body. Someone got a woman's brother had killed someone and had taken the body and put it in her house. And she said, a single mother. And she said, please get that out of here, you know. And he threatened her. He said, now, if you tell that this body is here, then, you know, I'm going to do something to you and your children. And what happened, she was scared for herself and her child, you know, children. And finally, when they did catch up with her, they asked her, why didn't she say something? She said, because he threatened to kill me and my children, and it's hard to get someone, you know, here. What they did was they charged her with being an accessory to that. She said, I couldn't help it. What could I do? He's going to kill me and my children. I told him to get it out of here, but he's holding me accountable. You know, I'm getting on both ends. My kids, yeah, I'm trying to live, you know. I was wondering, had anyone heard about that case at all? Had you heard anything that happened to her? The last thing I had heard, they had charged her with being an accessory to what her brother did. It's something like that.
Was that this year?
I think it was last year.
Okay.
She said, I couldn't make him get it out of here. You know, who was I going to tell? And he was going to come back and kill me and my children. And they charged her with being an accessory.
Officer Barnes, what do you think?
Well, the only thing that I can comment on that is that at the time of the arrest, it had to be sorted out once they did the investigation. Without knowing the facts, I don't know if that was a case where the arresting officers just arrested her and they're not the investigating officers. So there's a difference. Mm-hmm. And so once the investigating officers sort it out, then I'm pretty sure that with the testimony from the children as well as her, that should be straightened out somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course,
she
needed a lawyer, so at that time.
Yeah. So many times you hear about
her.
Yeah, I do. I'm the last time I heard that they had charged her with being an accessory. And I was just wondering, had anyone heard anything more about that case? We have so many times heard that, you know, they use a single person's residence or something like that for any type of maybe hiding drugs and things of that nature. And then, you know, the woman, you know, she's trying to make a living and her family's there. And then, you know, she's being threatened and her children are being threatened. And, you know, they're just locked in this problem, you know. And I was just wondering, just what a person could really do. Because either way, and then we really don't get the police protection that we really need, even when you become a witness to something, you know. I was concerned about that.
Well, you know, the problem is with the system itself. I mean, that's one in probably a million stories that are similar. When people that have a bad seed within their family get caught up in trying to prevent things from happening, and the problem is that in that policing process, they get combined with the problem. And then I guess the only problem is it's the support of the community, too, that can come to her aid if they know that he's the problem. So when the police officers come to make the arrest, they normally arrest everybody involved, or they think that's involved. So I just have a big problem with the process now, period, because there's not a lot of common sense being used. I remember back in Detroit when that SWAT team officers, they made a raid on the house where Lana Jones was killed. I don't know if you remember that story, where they fired through the window and the baby was asleep on the couch.
Right.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember
that.
You also remember that
the grandmother came to the aid and they end up locking up the grandmother for interfering?
Yeah.
Right.
That
did not make
that.
Any sense to me, because the grandmother, like any mother or any parent, would have come to see what happened to her baby. So, I mean, the other issues I had was before they made that raid, they had children's toys on the porch.
Right.
Okay, I'm not understanding. If you know there's children in the house, Why would you go forward with the raid? And then this is at night, not knowing that the individual may or may not be there, but you also know or have an indication that their children may be in the house because of the toys. And then it's a two-family flat, so how do you know where this individual is? Is he downstairs or is he upstairs? Or why couldn't you wait him out? Because if you got the house surrounded, where's he going?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a whole lot of judgment calls that that were made that were not challenged. And, you know, be honest with you, I got myself in a lot of trouble because there were scenes or incidents that I was involved in where I had to question myself. Because, you know, the problem is, again, it's just like I told you about a weapon. When you pull the trigger, you can't retrieve the bullet. So when you make an act and you respond on it without thinking it through, you become the problem. And then I remember a judge telling me, there's a difference in following an order and following an illegal order. The problem is, if you follow the order and it becomes illegal, you go to jail, not the person that gave the order.
Mm-hmm. You know, in talking about that case, that happened to a dispatch. That was I think it was on Lily Bridge. That happened. It was involved with one of my cousins, distant cousins, and it's the funniest thing. We were at a funeral after that. Their grandmother was there at the funeral. This other relative, and she said, I told my daughter, don't go into that house and take that right baby over, grandbaby over there. She said, I told her, don't go over there, and she went anyway. And she said it happened that her granddaughter was killed. She was at that funeral. It was a different funeral that we had in the family. And she said, I told her, don't do that. But she wanted to go with her because some guy was over there. It's funny you brought that up.
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, too. The officer eventually did get charged, but he was remorseful, though. But, you know, the actions happened. It was, you know, policing, be honest with you, it's a thankless job. And when you make a mistake like that, that's something you know you have to live with. And, again, that's where the suicide rate as well as post-traumatic stress disorder comes into play for people like that, too. You got to be a strong individual to survive, you know, incidents like that. But the problem is you don't get the proper help as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I have another caller.
Okay, thanks very much, officer.
You're welcome.
And Jenny White, and our co-host, Mr. Coleman. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Lucy.
Hello, listener. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi. Good evening. My name is Peyton, and I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. I am listening to this podcast with my grandmother, and I just wanted to ask a question to Officer Barnes. If I was in school, what would I do if there was a shooting or something in my classroom?
Oh,
that's a
good
question. Yes.
Well, first of all, Ms. Peyton, I hope that the school has a shooting scenario set up to where that they protect the children and that each teacher, which is an adult of your classroom, knows the procedure of what to do in the event of a shooting. The first thing you want to do, if you do hear a shooting, is get up under your desk and then wait for instructions from there. You don't want to leave the room because you don't know where the shooting's at. But hopefully they contain it wherever it's at before it can come into your room and just follow the instructions of your teacher.
Thank you, officer.
You're welcome.
So did you have something else you wanted to ask him?
I have one more thing that I wanted to ask Officer Bond. So if they had to, if they got in our classroom and found us, what should we do then?
Well, that's a good question, too. It's hard to say for you to remain calm because I'm pretty sure that you will be very upset and scared. But the biggest thing is you want to do is try to maintain some type of calmness and still try to follow the instructions of your teacher because the job of the teacher is to protect the student. And hopefully at the time that this incident is happening, that help is on the way. So you just want to remember that you follow the instructions of your teacher and try to remain calm as much as possible.
Okay. That's my last question. I just want to say thank you very much.
You're welcome. And thank you for the question.
And thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Okay. Co-host. Yes, it was.
Well, see, again, I don't know, are the schools, are they teaching that?
Teaching different types of protection?
Scenarios?
I'm sure. I'm sure. They started that.
That's a good question. I don't
know.
A couple
of years
ago.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
I know they do fire drills.
Yeah, they're doing something else now.
Well, see, it's been a long time since I remember them doing shooting scenarios. Because
yeah, but
I remember from the last mass shooting what they were supposed to do. I remember they were supposed to change the windows in the door to a bulletproof type of glass. And they were supposed to have different type of locks on the door to keep you from breaking the door into and securing the door. So I don't know if that's changed or what. Because you also have a problem if you have a large meeting area, such as, you know, the gymnasium or auditorium. What do you do there?
What do you mean, because of the because the room is large? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the size of the room.
I don't know.
But those are good questions that she brought up because
absolutely.
The other issue I have with that is I would think that the parents should be aware of what the procedures are as well. Because if there's an incident at the school, how do you notify the parents that your child is safe?
Well, I don't think at that moment when the situation is going on, you won't be able to contact anyone.
Well, no, not at that moment, but the thing is it should be a procedure of, well, the example would be is I had a emergency plan for the schools that I, when I was at DPS, where that each teacher was responsible for each student on a formatted plan where that you were able to be accountable, such as when you had an escape route. You would be able to have all the children listed on this document that was able to be transferable to the command post, and they would be accountable to their children in that classroom. Those are situations that have to be in a training process and practice as well, because I know everybody forgets how to do something when at the heat of the moment. Again, you know, if that's not practice, you forget.
You know, that's interesting. That's interesting because I do not recall doing any of those routines.
And see, when I went to the school system, that's what I found was a problem. Because how do you notify the command post, which is supposed to be set up to facilitate information to the parents, because you would be directed to a safe area, knowing that the children are safe and accountable, and if a parent needs to know where your child's at, then they know where to go pick them up at, because you're not going back to the place of where the incident is happening. You take them to a safe haven. And a lot of times that's what the buses were designed to do, because, you know, the buses come at a certain time, and then your children will be escorted from the buses to a safe place. I mean, there's so many things, so many scenarios that you can put into place. That was one of the things that I did training with the state police on schools and how to handle a shooting in a school, because you want to evacuate the school as much as many people as you can away from the area of the problem. And do you know how you search a school?
No. Hello? Okay, I think we've lost our guest. So right now I'm going to take another break, and this is the Jenny White Show.
We'll be back.
Lions Clubs International is a service or membership organization of over 1.7 million members worldwide. It was founded in 1916 in Illinois. Much of the focus of the Lions Club's work as a service club organization is to raise money for worthy causes as first responders. The Lions Club motto is "We Serve." Local Lions Club programs include sight conservation, hearing and speech conservation, diabetes awareness, youth outreach, international relations, environmental issues, and many other programs. The Lions acronym also stands for Liberty, Intelligence, Our Nation's Safety. For more information, contact us at lionsclubs.org.
And we're coming back to the Jenny White Show. We're still talking about the rules on keeping your firearms safe. I see our guest is back.
Yes, I'm sorry. I lost the signal.
Yeah, it's okay. That's okay. I wanted to say something, though. Like I mentioned earlier, I don't recall practicing anything about shooting and having to call parents. But I do know one time when we had a broken pipe and the building started to flood,
mm-hmm.
and we had to call the parents then. So we were calling parents. And, you know, these are special needs children. We had so many parents that we could not get. Their phones were either not on or they weren't answering. The buses had left the children and they had gone to the other schools. And we had to keep the kids there because we couldn't contact the parents. And that, to me, told me a whole lot. How can you leave your special needs child and you don't have a phone anymore or you've changed your number? So it's a lot of situations that do go on, and hopefully they will be corrected at some point in time.
I'm in agreement with you, but the problem that I've always seen to happen is we always wait till something happens to try to correct the problem. We're not proactive, we're reactive people. And then when you don't want to listen to people that can help you prepare for the unexpected, you become either discredited or become a problem for people in charge. So I think the question for me to anybody that has a child needs to ask any questions that is concerning to their child. How are you prepared to handle that situation in the event I'm not here? Because parents leave their children in the hands of the schools for their protection as well until they receive them back. So if the schools aren't responsible in handling those situations, I think that's a major problem.
So you're saying that it was our part to just take care of the kids, and that's what
right.
we did.
Which you did, yes. But,
yes.
you know, I went a step further when the schools I had, because I had some special ed schools. I also had emergency numbers other than the parents themselves. I had a secondary number and possibly a third number. As you mentioned earlier, the special need children need special care. And for any incident, each child needs an adult to assist them in the event of emergency. And that takes a lot of manpower, I understand. But then there's some children that, you know, some of them are in wheelchairs, some of them can't walk or run very fast. So sometimes they have a learning disability and may not understand what you're trying to do at the time because you're trying to rush them to do something they're not familiar with. So I had a big concern about those children. And, you know, a lot of the things that I tried to do fell on deaf ears. And I just think as a parent, they need to be more responsible in asking questions on how's my child taken care of in the event of such and such an incident. And don't take it just for granted.
Well, I could speak with that. I was a counselor, and I had to speak to quite a few parents. And their conversations were things that had nothing to do with their children.
Well, I know for a fact as a teacher that you are, and probably the counselor that you were, that you were exceptional to the group that you had to deal with.
Well, we're going to, are you still telling us about them? Because I wanted to mention something that I think you kind of said something about it, or Mr. Coleman said something about his gun didn't shoot. Is that what you said, Mr. Coleman? Mr. Coleman?
Yes, that's what I said.
Okay. All right.
My gun didn't shoot.
Because it says that if your gun fails to fire when the trigger is pulled, carefully, it says, handle with care. Unload the firearm and dispose of the cartridge in a safe way. Because it says that sometimes you may be using the wrong ammunition. So you have to be extremely careful about, you know, if it doesn't work. And then you have to keep it clean. Even a small bit of mud, snow, or excess lubricating oil or grease can cause pressure, which causes the barrel to bulge or even burst on firing. So it's a lot
that
of
was,
things. I'm sorry.
I've got a question for Officer Barnes. How does a gun work would not have no problem working underwater, would it? I don't see where it would have a problem firing underwater.
Well, it depends on the type of weapon. You know, the polymer weapons can shoot underwater, like a Glock. I've been able to shoot my Glock underwater.
There are some that would have a problem firing underwater.
Well, you have your steel revolvers. If the ammunition gets wet and the primer doesn't activate, you got to remember that when you have a semi-automatic, you also your bullets are encased in your magazine first before they get wet, right? On a revolver, the cylinder is exposed to the water. And it depends on the type of water. Now, we're talking about what, salt water or regular water?
Salt water, fresh water, any water.
Yeah, salt water can rust your gun quick.
Well, I mean, you know, not if you, you know, left your gun in the water for a day. You know, I'm just talking about if you, you know, 30 minutes if the gun was in the water, you know, 30 minutes or so. And you just happen to be fine at a big shark, you know, you fell overboard.
Well, I think you'd be looking for a life preserver at that point, not your weapon.
You're looking for something. Somebody save me. Looking for Jesus. You might be on the lunch menu.
But I can't honestly say that it won't shoot. But I've never been in a situation where I actually had to use it in that type of situation.
Right.
So that would be interesting.
Yeah, I thought that would be interesting.
All right.
Another question.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you got a question, Jenny?
No, I was wondering. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask Lucy if she had another question.
Yes, I did. When you were talking about school, what the schools were doing about, you know, safety as far as the children's concerned. I remember my granddaughter came home and she was talking to me about she had to go into the bathroom. They would show them how to go into the bathroom and she had to go in there and go in one of the stalls and stand up on the commode and stoop down in the case of someone being on the rampage of going through the building shooting. And she was told to stoop down and don't say nothing and be still. That was one thing that really grabbed me. I said, but she said, we had to practice that because if somebody's shooting, that's what you have to do. And they were trying to teach them things like that. That came to mind. But, you know, with this COVID thing and then with all the lawlessness that's going on, you know, sometimes you're glad the schools are not open and sometimes you wonder if they were open, you know, with people just rampantly going through the, you know, places shooting and all of that. You don't really know what to do. If we ever come out of this pandemic to this point where the schools are open, what will they be doing in school? Because we definitely have an element in here now, you know, within our country now. Go and just shoot up everything, you know, out of the fact that they feel that they have a right to do that. So that's a big concern. But she did tell me that that's one of the things that she had to do. They were teaching the girls how to do this, the girls, you know, and the other students. I think one, like Officer Barnes was saying, you hide under your desk and you be quiet until you're given any other orders and stuff like that. But I just thought I'd put that out there.
Is that an urban school or the school in the suburbs?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was there,
okay.
Yeah. And she was a special ed person, yeah.
Okay.
She is a special ed person. They were telling her that's how she would have to handle that. You know, show her what to do in that case. But now with the schools, you know, and then with this element where just rampant lawlessness is going on, you know, what can you do, you know? That is something. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I thank you for that.
Okay, thank you for allowing me to.
So, Mr. Coleman,
you were... There's a lot of things you have
to say, man. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mr. Coleman, you were saying something?
Yeah, I think my question's been answered, so I'm good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay, well, Officer Barnes.
You know, and I think our society has to address more issues than just the gun violence itself. We have to understand what's causing people to become as violent as they are. Is mental health really becoming more of an issue than they want to address? Nobody wants to address the problem. You just try to create more laws and not use the laws that we have on the books. I'm sorry.
She said that's true.
I think that's true, yeah.
And the other thing is that a lot of people may not be aware of, during the pandemic, we didn't hear of any mass shootings only because of the pandemic and Trump were the issues of 2020. But in 2020 alone, the gun violence killed over or nearly 20,000 Americans, according to data from the Gun Violence Archive. And in addition to that, 24,000 people died of suicide by a gun.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are just not aware that gun violence has risen dramatically. And more children have been killed by guns in 2020 than has been acknowledged in the communities of color. So I think it's all by design. I mean, you know, you reduce the amount of police for support in the neighborhood. You don't stop the problems of, when I listen to Black Lives Matter, I was always challenging the protest against the police, but I never hear the Black Lives demonstrating against black crime. That always amazes me when, you know, you don't say anything about the black killing the black. And you don't have major protests, and they don't make national global news either. So that's always been an issue for me.
Does that surprise you?
It doesn't surprise me as much as it's not being addressed. I mean, you know, you want to address some issues, you got to take care of your own backyard first instead of always trying to go fix somebody else's backyard. That's just like to me when you have these get together and go clean up the city and your house looks like the junkyard of Fred Sanford and Son. I'm not understanding that. You know, if we would heed to taking care of our own first, just like the airplanes do when the mask drops down, they say put your mask on first, then you can help the person next to you. We don't help ourselves.
That is true.
And I think that's our major problem. I mean, you know, when we start looking at the problem at hand, the community needs to understand that you need to take care of your own baby kid if that's your kid that's out there causing the trouble. But, you know, you got to be made responsible at some point.
It's got to be a baby kid, huh?
Well, that's the ones that's causing the problems.
That is true, yeah.
I mean, you know, I'm in my neighborhood alone, which troubles me a lot. I go to bed with gunfire. I wake up with gunfire. Then I have the ring on my door, and then I belong to the community awareness group, and it's not a day go by that you don't read about a shooting or a stolen car or a home invasion. And that's in the community that
yeah.
I live.
It's not just your community.
Well, no, I'm just saying within my community. I'm
right.
not trying to worry about everybody else's. I'm just trying to take care of where I'm at because I have worried about my family when they leave the doorway. What are they going to run into down the street? And when I don't see the police that's supposed to patrol the areas, and then I find out, I ask how many police cars are working a 33-mile radius? Four. How can four cars work a 33-mile radius? Something's wrong here.
It is.
But I mean, what hasn't changed? The taxes. The taxes steadily increase and the services decrease.
That's true. You know, I used to say that, you know, when I stayed in the city, you could kill somebody and walk away. You know,
oh.
you didn't have to run away. You could walk away.
And you're absolutely
That's
right,
how bad
Mr.
the
Coleman.
Services have gotten. Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, I can tell you about an incident where that I had a couple that was being beat in my driveway, and I had to go out to stop them, but I was confronted by five other thugs. I ended up firing a few rounds, and I had my neighbors to have them call the police for backup. Guess when they came?
Huh.
When?
The next day.
The next day.
Wow.
Okay.
That is,
wow.
I'm not for certain.
And I had them call officer in trouble. So,
wow.
again.
And they
again,
still didn't come till the next
no,
day.
No, because they said that. I said, well, what hell in the hell happened to y'all? They said, we've been backed up. Backed up from what? Oh, I was so angry, it wasn't even funny.
So were
but
you
see,
able
again,
to?
Again, all I'm saying, the problem is
wow.
that you have made us in the community paranoid and people are buying guns to protect themselves because they know nobody's coming to help you.
Yeah, that's sad.
And that's why we need to have, if you're going to have a weapon, you need to have gun education behind it. I mean, we got so many wrongs that are not right. It just, I don't know how to answer the question. And make it a proper question to where that we have to start learning how to take care of ourselves and stop counting on other people to take care of our problems. And we have to do it in a group effort, I think. And if you don't know, ask the question of somebody that does know the answer. So if you know you got a gun and don't know how to use it, go to somebody that knows how to use it and let them teach you the right way of how to handle that gun. And therefore, you'll be a lot safer because there's ramifications, even if you use a gun. And let me say this to you, too. When you aim a gun at a person with the intent of using it, you better make sure that there's nobody in the background of that weapon when you fire it. Because if you hit the wrong person, now you created another problem for yourself. And then the value of having possession of a weapon, you need to understand there is insurance available for your protection as well from a criminal intent. I suggest people start looking into that. If you haven't thought about it, you need to look into it because if you fire your weapon and you hit somebody with that weapon, you're subject to criminal prosecution as well. Even though you're trying to save your own life. So there's a lot more to owning a weapon. And I've carried insurance ever since I can remember. But I think it's very important to understand it's like driving a car without insurance. If you're carrying a weapon, you better be prepared to handle the outcome of it if you have to use it. And you're going to need an attorney. Without a doubt.
And you have to register it, right?
Oh, definitely. When you purchase it, you automatically are registering the weapon.
Okay.
You just got to notify your precinct in the area that you live. And what you do is you don't take the weapon into the precinct. You take this document showing that you purchased the weapon. And you don't have to do a safety inspection anymore.
How do you sell a weapon to somebody else?
You do a purchase permit, same way. If you have a CPL, the owners of CPLs can actually transfer weapons to each other. And all you do is turn in that purchase permit into your precinct that you purchase a weapon from another person. And that information you can get online from the state police. The purchase permit documents, you can download that, fill it out, and then between the two CPL holders, you can sell or purchase a gun from either one.
What if you don't have a CPL and you just want the?
Well, then you have to apply for a purchase permit. You have to apply for a permit to purchase.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Right, but a CPL person can sell that firearm to you.
Okay.
Just filling out the proper documents.
Okay, well, Officer Barnes, you've done it again. We thank
you so much
for being our guest. And
thank you.
Oh yeah, you're always welcome. So is there anything?
You know, it's a thing that we just have to share information as valid and to each other.
That's
because
true.
A lot of people, this firearm, I don't think is going away. And we want people, I personally would like to see more people educated. And then there's online training. Even YouTube has classes to familiarize you with your weapons. Or the rules and regulations through Michigan.gov, they'll tell you the firearm safety as well. So sometimes we have to take our own initiative to find out information that we need to know. But I'd rather have it than not need it, and need it than not have it.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So was that your last thing?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. So, Mr. Coleman, what about you?
Great show tonight, TGIF, and see everybody next week.
Okay. Lucy, did you have anything you wanted to leave us with?
No, just to thank Officer Barnes for, again, making himself available to us, especially in our community. And I do agree with him as far as the Black Lives Matter. We have to look at what matters within our community. If we can get our community together, then we'll be able to face outside the community a lot better. And I do agree with that. And thank you again for coming and, you know, like I said, making yourself available to us. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, and it's always been my pleasure.
Okay, so if that's it, then all I have to say is some people can pinpoint everything wrong about you, but when it comes to correcting themselves, the pen doesn't work. So having said that, I will say keep your mask on, keep washing your hands, and keep your social distancing. And have a great weekend. And what, is Sunday the last Sunday of this month? These months are really, really running fast. I don't understand it, but it'll be April in a minute. So that's almost the middle of the year. But anyway, be safe, people, and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. And this has been the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White Show. Good night.